This is Nova 103.5 Brighton early on a Wednesday morning, and time for us to chat with Dr. Colleen from MediClinic. Colleen, welcome. We are talking about mental health today. What's the story?
So Deanne, thank you very much. I'm very, very pleased to be here this morning. I think it's something that actually really requires urgent attention in Namibia. It's quite devastating in opening news briefs and reading about people who've committed suicide, which is really sad and not necessary, because I do believe that there is help out there and that there are things which can be done for these people not to get into the situation where they feel so hopeless and like there isn't any other way out. I think there's lots that we can do about it.
Unfortunately, of course, in this country, as in many around the world, it is very much stigmatized.
Yes.
A lot of people don't talk about it, but we are seeing now that it is being, have some light shone on it. And that's a good thing, of course, because like you say, I mean, there is help out there. And when you get to that point where you're about to make that decision, then everything is blocked off. You're not thinking like that. So hopefully before you get to that point.
Exactly. Yeah. So very much tunnel vision when you actually get to that point where you literally feel so hopeless that you don't see that there could be any way out of this situation. So, of course, it would be wonderful if we could actually be in the situation where nobody achieves that point.
Yeah.
And very much so making it less stigmatized and sort of normalizing it. Because the thing is, mental health conditions are so common. There's actually more people who are struggling with them than what we realize. And actually also most especially men, you know. So it is always something that has been associated with women, maybe being hysterical, which is where the word hysterectomy comes from.
It's a weakness thing.
Yes, very much so.
And of course with men, it's the whole macho thing.
Yes.
Suck it up. Go for it. You can deal with this. We don't always look really carefully at the people next to us.
Yes.
Very often it's a case of like, I never knew they were feeling so, but we're really looking out for it, you know?
Yes.
And we have a responsibility to be able to say, when I say, how are you doing? And you say, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Or are you just saying the words?
Yes, yeah. And it's also, putting on that brave face is actually also emotionally very draining. So it actually depletes your reserves, which are already low.
Yeah.
So it really is something that we do need to normalize. So, you know, there's also a spectrum, because it's normal for people to have down days or, you know, things that are like sort of weighing heavily on your shoulders.
Sure.
So those are all normal. It's just when it becomes something which impacts your daily life, then, you know, then it is definitely something that requires attention. And the attention doesn't necessarily have to mean, oh, we'll put you on an antidepressant. It doesn't have to mean that. There's actually a multitude of other things which are available. Antidepressants do have their place. We can talk a little bit later about treatment options, but they do have their place, but there are a lot of other things which we can do together with or instead of using medication.
Just one thing that we spoke about the other day, there's actually an option in very many cases when you get to that point where you really think you might do something that you feel that's coming up now. Very often, just having somebody to talk to, somebody to bounce an idea off, would say to you, listen, this is not a good idea, let's chat. And not always do you have somebody close to you, but we don't always think there is just a hospital emergency. There are people there 24 hours a day.
Yes.
Even if you pitch up there and say, listen, I'm thinking of doing something silly.
Yes.
Can I talk to you? Can I have a cup of coffee? And in most cases, people say, please sit down, let's talk.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and that's definitely like an entry portal. So, and then you would be able to also get the professional help which you require, but that door is always open. So whether it's a physical abnormality or an illness, or whether it's a mental abnormality or illness, then that door is always open. And I think we need to realize, you know, that we're a spirit which has a soul and it lives in a body.
Yeah.
It's not the other way around.
Sure.
There's also this mindset still that, you know, there's nothing really wrong with you. But now, you know, if I had diabetes and I had to have my leg removed, it's obvious to everybody from the outside that I have a walking impairment and something has happened. But yes, we do need to start normalizing it. And I think also in terms of people listening, It can be difficult sometimes just to listen and not to try and fix somebody's problems. Yeah. And a lot of times that person doesn't really need you to fix their problems, but just having that venue to be able to talk and release some of that, like the tension that's associated with those thoughts and feelings already goes a long way therapeutically.
That is one thing that guys do very badly. We are born fixers. We like, okay, so well, what do you want me to do? Actually, yeah. I want you to do nothing.
Yes.
I want you to listen to me and say, "Ah, shame, you've had a tough day. Have a glass of wine, or let's talk some more about it."
Yeah.
Women are much better at that, which is why women tend to seek out other women to listen to their problems. And guys, really, you know, sometimes just keep quiet and just listen. I'm guilty of that as well. It's like, okay, so how do I fix this? You don't need to fix other people's problems.
Yes, yes.
And it's something that I think we can definitely learn to do better. It's just keep quiet sometimes and listen. Colleen, we could talk about this topic for many, many more hours.
Yes.
But I think what we should do at some point later on, maybe we'll schedule something. Like, a lot of people are very mistrustful of psychosomatic medication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are in some cases antipsychotics. We are now on third, fourth, fifth generation.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have as many side effects.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the idea of putting a pill in your mouth to solve your problems.
Yes,
that's how some people see it.
Yes.
That's not right.
Yes, that is completely not right. And that's actually not, it's really not the place for medication. So we have obviously different sort of categories, and it depends on what the condition is or what the diagnosis is that's been made. So some of the things are a little bit more like the bigger guns, if I could put it like that. But the use of antidepressants across the world is astronomical. There really are so many people who are taking a piliki elke dag. But
do you think it's being oversubscribed?
I think
too many people are on pills when maybe a bit of therapy would be a better option.
Yes. I think maybe in some places in the world, you know, the way that the healthcare service is set up, it's like patient in, patient out. You just want to get this person out of your door ASAP. So I do think that there's a place for the medication, but it's alongside other things, because there are so many other things which can also be done, which are not necessarily expensive things.
Yeah.
They're things that are available to us every day, just in our everyday lives. But also, interestingly, there has more recently been a realization in the past. I mean, the truth is nobody really knows exactly what causes depression, because it's like a multifactorial illness. It's there's biology involved, your genetics, your DNA, the circumstances that you are in, as well as psychological.
If you have parents who tend to, their outlook tends to be glass half empty rather than glass half full, you tend to think of things.
Yes,
like
you're almost predisposed to think like that. So the thought had been that it was actually sort of a deficit of the good neurotransmitters, serotonin and dopamine. But now the realization is that probably isn't true. A lot of the antidepressant medication worked on availing more serotonin and dopamine in that little gap. There's a little gap between when nerves speak to each other. But the realization has been that it probably isn't actually a deficit of these neurotransmitters, but it might be the way in which they're utilized within the neuron. But what has also been found is that the antidepressant medication actually does have a positive effect on the actual nerves, the nerve cells, the neurons within the brain.
Yeah.
So we've been using it for a long time, thinking it was for one thing, and it actually was having a different effect, which nobody really realized, but that effect was actually helpful. So that's why I say I do think that there is still a place for them.
Sure.
And another thing that's important is the whole idea of like neuroplasticity and neuromodeling.
Yeah.
So also, you know, a long time ago, people used to believe that your brain was sort of static. So if you had been raised in a home where there was a lot of conflict and tension and worry all the time, you're predisposed to be like that, and your brain will just always stay like that. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, which is a wonderful, it's a wonderful thing to know that.
Yeah.
So you don't have to stay the same. them. It is possible for that change to come in. It is possible for things for you to be taught things and to exercise things. And that's where it gets a little bit more difficult because it doesn't just happen overnight. It's something you have to consistently begin to do for those neurons in your brain to make different and new pathways. But the wonderful news is that it is possible.
I mean, a classic example, recently we had somebody who had a stroke in their normal, where the speech area is located, completely no speech whatsoever, and within about 6 months, they taught themselves to speak again because that area of speech has actually moved to another part of the brain. It's taken over
functions. It's amazing.
Yourself, how is that possible? Yes. That can happen.
Our bodies are amazing.
The rest, you know, can be done as well.
And I would say that person's attitude was the first thing which helped them, because if they had, you know, gone into that situation saying, oh, it's hopeless and there's nothing that can be done, then they would have remained not
very
speaking.
So. Colleen, that was good fun. We could speak for hours more, but thank you very much for your contribution this morning. The voice of Colleen Kotze, she, of course, is from MediClinic.
Thanks, Dion.